All right, we are back. Another week, another episode. Welcome to Cheat Day. I am your host, Frankie, and I am here with the lovely
Kristen.
Yes, the lovely who is sipping on some tea in the most beautiful cup that I've seen. It's so nice. I love it. Where'd you get it?
A friend of mine actually gave it to me, and she got it from Anthropology.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I'm like, I know why he likes this mug.
Girl. Yes. I love me some Anthropology. Yes. So, how's it going, Mamas? How you doing?
I'm okay. I've been trying to chill today. I have no chill. I have zero chill. I always feel like I'll relax when everything is done. The only problem is nothing is ever done, right? Like there's a constant to-do list. So I just, I took like a 4-hour nap. I woke up at 6, got up at 7, had breakfast, had a walk, and then was back in by bed by 9, I think.
Okay.
9 to 12. Mm-hmm. Nice long nap.
Yeah.
It was delicious, though, and I think very much needed. Yes, girl.
Good, good.
Yeah.
For me, it has been a week. So I know that I worked. Yeah, like regular, you know, we're working, you know, due to this COVID just refusing to leave. And the cases have been increasing, so we are at work. They're implementing different things, so we're working 2 days a week from home, which I don't love, but, you know, it's got to be done to limit the amount of people who are there at a particular time. So we're starting that next week. And, yeah, other than that, work is work. You know, work is a means to an end. At this point, and it's a way for me to do things that I love like this. So, you know, we continue to do it. Then a friend of mine, former coworker, friend from Florida, who I think I shared with you that she was not doing well. So she passed away this week. And that has been very challenging because, you know, there were 4 years of my life that I lived in Miami, and she was a big part of that, so I've been sort of reconnecting with friends from Florida that I haven't talked to in a while. So we've been supporting each other. So that you know, that has been difficult. Also, I'm frustrated because the person in the White House refuses to cooperate, and I am sick and tired of this child. If I'm honest. Now, the last thing is he wants a recount in Georgia, the third recount in Georgia. Like, how many times do we have to count these votes to know that they're valid and that you lost? And honestly, what he's doing is so dangerous for our country because it's further dividing the people because he has very devoted people to him who believe everything he says. So they are up in arms. And honestly, I'm a little bit scared. So, yeah. And then COVID. The two things that I would love to leave that refuse to. COVID and Trump. Yeah. And then on a little bit of a funny note. So I ordered a box of chocolates from Amazon. Yeah, no, I mean, super nice. And they're like, the UK has this like tins that they put out during the holiday season. They're called Celebrations, and they have another one called Roses, and I love them. And I got one, and I usually get one. So I get it today, delivered, but it was not a box of chocolates. It was a box of ink cartridges. Yes. I was like, what is going on here? Amazon is like losing its shit. I don't know what's happening, but you know, another package of mine like was undeliverable, and this really has never happened. So I'm assuming it's because they're probably, you know, the staff is, they're short staffed or something. I don't know. But that was that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing? I mean, I know that you have been very active in your socials and with your crafting with Kristen, your Etsy shop. What's happening? Tell us all about it.
All about it, girl. I am, you know, I feel you on the, you know, being very concerned about things that are happening. And so I have just completely thrown myself into my work the last couple of weeks just because it's just so overwhelming. So with all of that, I have been working on getting things posted in the Etsy shop. You know, I've never had my own business. I've never pursued my art career, right? Like these are all things that are new for me and I'm learning all of these different things, like technical elements that go into, you know, just showcasing your art in a way that does it justice, right? So this last week I spent a lot of time trying to take pictures of my art, which we talked about, very challenging. I finally started to lean into it and have fun because, you know me, I get very impatient. I just want it to be perfect and I want it to be perfect now. And that's just not how it works. And I know that, but that doesn't mean that I still don't get impatient. So I worked on that this week and just also realizing things like I need to be better at advertising for Crafts with Kristen. And I think I also need to change the night. I think I'm a little... I mean, to think that I can compete with a Saturday night, you know what I mean? Like, come on now, come on. Maybe a Tuesday, huh? Maybe a nice Tuesday. Maybe a Tuesday is more my lane, you know? So I'm looking into doing it a different night and then maybe even a little bit earlier, just so that, you know, if my East Coast people want to partake in Crafts with Kristen at some point, I'm not doing it at, you know, 12 o'clock at night, their time. So working on that, I did do Crafts with Kristen last night, had a brand new set. As you can see, you guys can't see who are listening, but Frankie can see that I am trying to elevate. I'm just trying to elevate, you know, and just continue to level up.
Yeah.
And up the ante and yeah, just make things better, yeah, you know, as I go.
There's a talk show in your future.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of things in my future just because, like, I've never really been one to pick a lane. I picked art, you know, and, like, that's a pretty big umbrella, right? Like, that covers a lot of different categories of types of creation. And I love all the mediums, Frankie. I love them all. Mm-hmm. You know, I want a studio art space one day where I can weld and throw paint. And I can do stand up, like all of it, right? Make movies, mm-hmm, do podcasts, mm-hmm, just all the things.
Yeah,
all the things.
Yeah, no, that's the dream, right?
It's the dream.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You continue on. You had the microphone. It is your time.
No, I just... but we were just talking about the shop and everything and the Crafts with Kristen. So yeah, so the Love Your Show shop, there's a lot of stuff posted right now. If you guys are interested in commissioned pieces of work, you can contact me through Etsy as well about that. I'm open. I just love to create. And Oh, Love Your Show 20 is the Instagram account. That's the public page for the Love Your Show shop. That's where I'll be posting all the stuff that's public. I'm trying to get away from my personal page and just leaving that personal. And also Love Your Show 20 on TikTok. Follow me. Okay. What were you going to say?
TikTok.
Honey,
I was going to say, I know last week we talked about holiday movies, specifically about like Hallmark and Lifetime. And I had like kind of seen something around that they were going to do like an LGBTQ+ movie. So I looked around and I saw that, yeah, there's like three. So like Hallmark's doing one, Lifetime is doing one, and then the Paramount Network is doing one.
Oh.
So here's the, a little bit of info from each. So we have from Hallmark, we have The Christmas House. So, starring Mean Girls, Jonathan Bennett, and The Christmas House is Hallmark's first ever holiday movie to center an LGBTQ plus storyline. Now, here's a little bit of like the synopsis, right? So, working through some difficult decisions, Mitchell, family matriarch, and patriarch Bill have summoned their two grown sons, Mike and Brandon. Now, guess which one the gay one is? Just by their names.
Brandon?
Yeah. Yes. So they summoned their two grown sons home for the holidays. And it is their hope that bringing the family together to recreate the Christmas house will help them find resolution and make a memorable holiday for the entire family and community. As Brandon and his husband, Jake, make the trip home, they are anxiously awaiting a call about the adoption of their first child. Okay. So that's okay. I mean, I will say, the whole cast is white. And are you telling me that out of all of the gay actors in the world, including many people of color, you couldn't find anybody other than the guy from Mean Girls? I mean, but those are, you know, it is a step forward. It is their first. We're hoping to see more, right? So then we move on to the Lifetime movie. And that one is called The Christmas Setup. So this one, Fran Drescher is in this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So The Christmas Setup follows the story of New York lawyer Hugo, who heads to Milwaukee with his best friend Madeline, played by Ellen Wong. There's your best friend of color, to spend the holidays with his mom, played by Fran Drescher, who is also in charge of the local Christmas celebrations. Even the matchmaker, Kate, arranges for Hugo to run into Patrick, Hugo's high school friend and secret crush, who has recently returned after a successful stint in Silicon Valley. As you do. As they enjoy the local holiday festivities together, Hugo and Patrick's attraction to each other is undeniable, and it looks as though Kate's Santa-style matchmaking is a success. But as Hugo receives word of a big promotion requiring a move to London, he must decide what is most important to him. Okay. And again, everybody, other than the best friend, white.
White.
Yeah. And then we have the one from Paramount Studios, which is, or Paramount Network, I should say. It's titled Dashing in December. And the movie's official description says Dashing in December follows the story of a guy named Wyatt, a sophisticated New York City financier who returns home from the holidays in an effort to convince his mother to sell the family's ranch and beloved magical winter wonderland attraction. In the midst of his mission, an unexpected romance ignites with the new ranch hand Heath. The ranch hand Heath, that was a mouthful. Reawakening the spirit of Christmas. Okay. And again, everybody's white. Now, I will say that the ranch hand, Heath, is played by Argentinian actor Juan Pablo Di Pace. However, he is pretty white.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's great that these movies are happening. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. However, I still don't see myself represented in any of these movies. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And I read somebody tweeted like, oh, finally, they're giving the gays what they want. No, that is not what this gay wants. So
right, it's a very specific gay.
Oh my God, a very specific gay that they're portraying here. You know, it's just, I can't. I mean, I will support, but I need to see better.
Yeah.
They need to do better.
Yes, now. Change doesn't need to be this slow. We know that. We know that because we see it all the time in evil. Evil shit works real fucking quick. Why does the good stuff work so slow?
I have no idea.
Because it's the same. It's the same energy. It's just two different directions. So
you know what? The only thing I can think of is it comes down to money, because they have a very specific. I mean, all these networks that we just named have a very specific demographic. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to be as safe as possible. And a white gay is probably the safest. And I mean, not only that, but they're not really the center of the story. There's a lot happening around them. It's just this romance happens to be happening. But other than that, there's a lot of different characters who have their own stuff going on, which usually is not how it works with these movies. It's like you have the two. You have the woman and the man, and they are the center of everything. Everybody else is just, you know, whatever, filler.
Yep.
But here they seem to be surrounding these couples with a lot of, you know, other things. They're trying to give a piece their demographic at this point. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like these networks need to just... I mean, it's hard because you know who runs these networks.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, I think that needs to change first. And I think these movies are just them trying to, you know, trying to stop people from attacking them in regards to the representation.
Yes.
They're like, okay, so we're going to throw some gay, you know, some white gays at them and see if they shit the hell up.
Right. It's always like a whitewashed version of something different that they incorporate just so that they can say, no, we're inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
We're inclusive. We have that one black person or that one gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not good enough, and it's not. It's not the same.
No,
you're not doing it. You're not doing it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. So that was that. I mean, it was a little bit. It's a little bit disappointing, to say the least. I mean, Hulu does have a movie coming out with Kristen Stewart. I mean, yeah, they're all white, but at least it's a lesbian couple. You know. But again, everybody's still white.
Yeah, it's just so problematic. White and cis. And it's just the same thing over and over and over again. Just slight changes, slight differences. All the same characters, just she's a lesbian.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway.
Girl.
I do have a question for you, not related to this, but we're moving on.
We're moving on, girl.
Moving on. So I watched a video from Bob the Drag Queen, and I didn't know this, but Bob the Drag Queen, you know Bob the Drag Queen, yeah?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Bob the Drag Queen has two boyfriends.
Oh.
Yeah, but they're not like a throuple. They're like, you know, they're separate. So they're separate entities. So
polyamory?
I don't know. So Bob dates both of them, but they don't really date each other.
Right.
Yeah. Is that what that? Okay.
Well, it's like it's open relationship, polyamory. I'd have to look it up, but isn't it like pansexual when you, it's not necessarily you're in a throuple.
I don't know if it's pansexual. I think it's, I think it is polyamory.
Okay. Polyamory. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I guess
I was going to say, anyway, continue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess my question to you is, would you ever be able to have two partners? Oh, multiple.
Not now. I don't think so. Yeah. No. I mean, one person's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but I guess it also depends on your style and how you commit in relationships and how you, you know, break up time and all of that stuff. So I guess it would just come down to preference. And I think because of like past experiences and trauma and all of that stuff, I think I have made the decision to just want to commit to one person and that's it. And that's like the safest, softest, most comfortable for me. But I totally get and respect other people wanting to do different things and being in different kinds of relationships, right? Like that's like we all should be able to get to choose what's good for us. Yeah. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, again, I think everybody needs to make the best decision for themselves and their relationship. I don't think I'd be able to do it. I'm you know, it's all about me, really. Like, it's not even about anything to do with having several people in a relationship. It's about my own insecurities, which I'm still dealing with and I have dealt with for my entire life. When I have one person, that's enough. It's like because I have to worry about, not that I have to, but I do because of where I come from. I worry about everything that person does, and maybe that's precisely why I enjoy being single, because I have no stress other than what I bring to myself. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to. There's no other people involved, so I definitely would not be able to. I get the idea of it, but for myself, I just don't think that'd be the right choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. I didn't know that about him.
I didn't either.
Yeah, and they made a video answering like a Q&A style thing. Yeah, so it was interesting. I was like, I wonder what Kristen would think. Which is why.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's cool and interesting. All the different variations of relationships.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll tell you straight up, I think that I would just be jealous. I would be jealous about, like, because I'm so insecure, I always feel like, I would feel like the third wheel if it was like a throuple situation. Like, they like each other more, and they, you know, like, it would just be really complicated for me. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I don't know. That's all I'll say about that. All right, Mama. So I know today we're gonna talk about like some embarrassing moments that happened to us in our lives. Would you like to do the honors? You're like, I don't know.
I was gonna tell two.
That's okay.
What?
That's okay. You can tell as many as you want. It's your show.
Okay, well, we had talked about the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was maybe like 7 years ago. I just started dating my husband, and I lived in Hollywood, and he lived in Glendale. And so he would come and pick me up, and he would take me to his place, and I would spend the night, right? And still the beginning. At this point, he doesn't know that I shit, right? In the beginning of relationships, you don't tell people that you shit. That's something that comes maybe 6 months, a year down the line, right? It's just not something you talk about. You know, you get to a point where you just don't give a shit. But until then, there's no shitting. So we had just started dating. His place only had one bathroom. I spend the night. And he's the kind of guy where he's in the bathroom for like a minute, right? Like he sets up shop, gets comfortable. He's in there for a minute. So I wake up, he's in the bathroom. I need to go to the bathroom, but I'm like, whatever, I can hold it. It's not a big deal. I go into the kitchen, I'm putzing around. And all of a sudden my stomach starts to gurgle. And I'm like, holy fuck, like that's problematic. Like that needs to stop it right now. Okay. And it continued to persist. Well, my husband's in the bathroom. I don't want him to know that I shit. All right. Don't want him to know that. So I'm like trying to figure out in the kitchen how the hell I'm going to like, what do I do? Like, I'm still trying to hold it. Right. And I don't know how long he's been in the bathroom. And then all of a sudden it hits, right? It fucking hits. So now we are in split decision-making time. All right. We need to make decisions right now. There's no time to waste. The hallway's carpeted. I'm like, I could go to the bathroom and see if I could get him out of the bathroom, right? Which might take a minute, and I need to do something now. And I'm not trying to shit all over his carpet. So I decided that it would be a good idea to grab the garbage can and proceed to shit in the middle of his kitchen. I am squatted over this goddamn garbage can dying because, first of all, I'm dying because I'm shitting, right? And that alone was traumatic. But then I'm shitting in a garbage can in a kitchen in my new boyfriend's house who's in the bathroom, and I don't know when he's coming out of the bathroom. That could be any fucking minute. So I'm shitting, I'm dying. We're done. We made it through. I grab some paper towels. I work it out. I take the garbage. I take it outside. I put it in the can. The can is right underneath the bathroom window. So I'm like, he totally knows what I just did. He knows that I just shit in his kitchen. Like, I'm freaking the fuck out. I go back inside. He comes out of the bathroom. None the wiser. No fucking clue. Did not tell him. Did not tell him until, I can't remember, I don't think we were married yet. I think we were definitely like 4 or 5 years in, and we had been living together for like 3 or 4 years. And I was like, I got to tell you something. When you were living at the Glendale house, I totally shit in your kitchen.
What did you say?
He laughed. He thought it was fucking hilarious. Okay. Of course he thought it was hilarious.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. Mm. Yeah.
That's something.
Mortifying. I died. Yeah. I died. I was like, can you imagine if he, we were like 4 months into dating. Mm-hmm. You walk out of the bathroom, your new girlfriend is shitting in the middle of your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think that would have been a deal breaker for him. I think he would have
probably knowing him now. Yeah.
Yeah. But how embarrassing.
No, totally. It's a good thing you didn't get caught. Definitely.
I know. Oh my God, I would have died. Mm-hmm. I would have been humiliated. Mm-hmm. I would have been humiliated. I mean, I would have gotten over it. We all would have had a fun chuckle, but
girl. So when we were, you know, I was thinking about like embarrassing stories. Like, my whole life is really an embarrassment, to be honest. Like, I am a very awkward, like, sometimes I put up a good front, you know. I had a job where I had to do mostly like public speaking. I can put on like a persona, right? But in like my real life, I am super awkward. Most of my moments will involve either falling or shit or throwing up, porn, or people who I think are attractive. So, like, and this has been since I was a child. So the first thing was me going to church. I had this period, because my parents were not churchgoers. So I had this period in my life when I was a kid that I wanted to see what it was like. So I asked my neighbors if I could tag along. And they were going to what was pretty much like a mega church. It was like really lots of people. And we're in the middle of the thing, and I had to go to the bathroom. And the bathroom was in the back, but it was like in the front. So you had to go all the way to the front where the thing was happening. So everybody was looking in that direction and go up the stairs and to the side. So I go, here I go. I go up the stairs and I fall. Like, I literally tripped going up the stairs with thousands of people watching. I didn't even look back. I just like, I kept it going, because that's what you got to do. That's what I've learned to do when, because I fall, at least I used to. I've fallen a couple times in the last couple of years, but it's not as much as when I was in like my teens and 20s. It was just like a constant thing. And I don't know what that was about. It was just like uncoordinated or I don't know. So then we fast forward through college. I fell a bunch of times in college, going up and up the stairs, down the stairs, outside in mud. My most embarrassing moment in college was I was 17. I wasn't out. And I had these two tapes because back then, you know, we had the tapes, we had, you know, VC, and they were gay adult videos. So because I didn't want my roommate, I didn't know my roommate was going through my stuff or whatever. I always kept them with me because I didn't want anybody to find them. And you think that I would like peel the like label or something, but I guess I don't think either it was like super stock on there or it was like printed on it. I'm not sure. So I go to the library and I didn't realize that the tapes, the VHSs they used to have this like strip that maybe had like metal or something on it so that people would not steal them, because once you go through the metal detector with them, the metal detector goes off. So my way out of the library, on the way in, you don't have to go to the metal detector, it's just on the way out. The alarm goes off. The white lady calls me to the front. And I was like, I don't know why the alarm went off. Like, I didn't take anything. And she was like, do you have any books or any tapes? And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. So I had to take the tapes out to show her. And the titles of the tapes are Stiff Latino Stuff and Dr. Jerkoff and Mr. Hard. Yeah. She looked at the tapes. She looked at me. She called somebody over. I mean, I was ready to just die at that moment. She's like, where'd you get these? I was like, Providence. She's like, okay. She gave them back to me. And I left and I never went back. I mean, I don't know. It was just really one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. Yeah. I try not to think about it. But sometimes I do. Yeah. What's your next one? Top that.
I know. Oh my God. How old were you?
17.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh God. God.
Yeah.
I feel like it stings more when it happens during those developmental years.
I mean, it was terrible.
Oh my God.
Absolutely terrible. I was sweating. Yeah. And I had to go to class but you know, like nobody knew, but I knew. So I was like, I thought everybody was judging me.
Yep.
It was a big old mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other story I was going to tell was the fake New Yorker story.
Okay.
I don't really say I'm embarrassed about that, but it's more just one of those things where maybe I should be embarrassed.
Yeah.
I worked at a Starbucks back in, I think it was like 07, no, like 08. And it was my last food and beverage industry job, and I hated it. I hated food and beverage industry. I worked like over 10 years in that industry, and it killed my soul. So it was my last job in the industry, and for whatever reason, I started talking in a fake New York accent to make the hours go by faster. It just made the day more fun. And people seemed to really like a fake New York accent, especially in a coffee house setting, even though it was a goddamn Starbucks.
Right.
So people would be like, oh my God, where are you from? And I'd be like, Washington. They're like, oh my God, they talk like that in Washington? I'm like, no. I remember this one time, this guy that was like four people back in line. I was talking to the two women that were up in front about my goddamn accent. And he was like, hey, New York, shut up and hurry up. We're all trying to get our coffee here. I'm like, oh my God. So I started talking in a fake New York accent, and it got pretty good. It took me about 2 years to perfect, and it did get pretty good. But I was doing it so much that I was doing it everywhere all the time. So I was always talking in a fake New York accent, right? I've never even been to New York, okay? So talking in a fake New York accent, I get an opportunity to interview at this new job, right? And I'm like, okay, well, it's in an industry that I already feel burned out in, but maybe I could give it a few more years. So I go on the interview, first interview, total fake New York accent, the entire interview. Okay. Fake New York accent. They're asking me questions. I'm answering. They didn't ask me anything about New York, but still fake New York accent. So they decide they want to give me a second interview after fake New York accent gets that first interview out of the way. So I go in for my second interview, fake New York accent again. They fucking hire me. They hire me. They offer me the job. I'm like, well, fuck me. Because I, you know, part of me was like, I'm not going to take the job. So like, it doesn't matter, you know, but then they offered me the job and I was like, well, you know, I could get out of like Starbucks. So that would be nice, you know, and it, you know, it's an honorable job. So I took the job and then had to figure out how to go from fake New York accent to non-fake New York accent. And we were working with young people. So like all the young people wanted to know where I was from. I was like, none of your fucking business. You want your bag of what, you know, it's none of your fucking business. All right. And it took me about 3-4 weeks to get it to kind of dwindle out. But then no one said anything to me about it. As far as like any of the people who hired me under this fake New York accent pretense. Until about 2 years later, when work did, they did like best in show, right? Like every year they'll do like, you know, just like funny stuff. And so my best in show award that year was premised with, I can't believe this person works here because they interviewed not only once, but twice in a fake New York accent. And I got the best fake New Yorker award that year. And so, but it had been like 2 years. No one had said anything about it.
Yeah.
Until 2 years later. And so, and I ended up working at that job for 9 years. So go figure. Hey, hey, hey. I don't know what that says about me or society, but it, I think it says a lot. I think it says a lot. It's yeah, I probably should be kind of embarrassed about that, but I just think it's like crazy and insane and just totally on brand for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Kind of insane.
Don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it. That was really bad.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Forget about it. Yeah.
What do you got? What's your next story?
I mean, it's just like a combination of things. So honestly, like my teens and 20s were terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I was very awkward. I did have some friends. I sort of, you know, I was very insecure, and I found alcohol helped me go out and be social until it wasn't cute anymore. You know, like one night I drank so much that I threw up. 'Cause usually, you know, when you're drinking and stuff and you kind of throw up a little bit and it's still in your mouth and you kind of swallow it back, you know, I feel like many of us have had those moments.
Yeah.
But at this point, it was so much. I mean, there was a cup with a drink. I threw up in the cup. I placed it on the table. I remember the things that I did. And then I threw up all down my shirt. I mean, it was just, and this was in a small town, not town, but a small city. So the gay clubs were packed. There was so many people and everybody knew who I was. Everybody knows everybody. It was just so embarrassing. And that was the last night that was when I like stopped drinking. I wasn't an alcoholic because I wasn't drinking all day, every day. But I did drink every time I went out. I had to. But that's when that stopped, because then I've always had an issue talking to guys, people that I'm interested in. So back then, what I would do is I would write letters. So I read them letters to ask them out, which is completely, to me now, it's just kind of embarrassing because I feel like they went out. I feel like even if they weren't into me, they felt bad. And I was like, this person went through all this trouble. Like, he wrote this letter and he gave it to me and all this. So let's go on the first date and then not go out with him after that. I just did so many little, like, embarrassing things after watching the movie Groove. I don't know. Did you ever see Groove? It's about, like, ravers and, like, raving in San Francisco.
Let me Google it. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. There's a
I mean, it was one of my favorite movies ever.
Groove?
Yeah, and the music was great. There's a guy sitting on the subway with a giant mirror ball. That's the cover of it. Did you find it?
It's a movie or a show?
It's a movie.
2000?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I don't know.
So basically it's about all these like young people. There's some queer people in the movie too who are all trying to go to this rave and they're like spend the day getting ready for it. So when I watched that movie, me and my friends were like all about it. So every time we would go out, even though it wasn't a rave, we would go to Hot Topic and buy glow sticks, take them to the club, and dance with the glow sticks. I mean, at the moment, at that time, we thought it was everything. Looking back, it's pretty embarrassing. I'm pretty sure we were the only ones that would bring glow sticks to the club. Yeah.
Maybe you guys were trendsetters.
We were trendsetters. Okay,
period. Yeah. Trendsetters, yes. Yeah. Like, y'all don't know about these light shows.
Yeah, and then I also have a poop story. Even though, I mean, it was like an almost poop story. So when I lived in Miami, I was seeing this guy. And, you know, in Miami, I started taking some diet pills. I've always struggled with my weight. I started taking some diet pills. I do not condone doing that, but I did that. And one of the side effects, so I would take them for a week and then I had a cheat day at the end. And I knew that because I had taken the diet pills, and one of the side effects was that they're supposed to clean you out and like take all the fat out and stuff. So anytime that I ate something that was outside of my regular like diet plan, I would just get like explosive diarrhea. Just like real bad. So it was a Saturday, and Saturdays were usually my cheat days. So I was, I went as usual. I had some like fatty stuff, and I forgot what I ate, but it was a bunch of stuff. So I was talking to this guy, and we were seeing each other. And that Saturday, I wanted to see him, but he was at work, and I was like, "Well, how about like I pick you up?" At that point, I was feeling fine. I had like a whole bunch of stuff to eat. But nothing had happened. So I was like, I'm okay. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go out away from a bathroom and like not really worry about it. So I went to go pick him up. And as I'm waiting, my stomach started gurgling. And I was like, oh, no. Do not do this to me. And then he got in the car and it started getting really bad to the point where like I started sweating. And I was trying everything I could to, like, not, you know, fart or do any of those things in front of him because it's really embarrassing. I opened the window. I needed some fresh air. I'm sweating. I know I'm getting red. I had to, like, start, like, moving forward a little to the point where he started to notice that something was happening. And I was like, I'm just not feeling all that great. When I tell you that I dropped him off, and I made it home with seconds to spare. Seconds. Like, I mean, I could have just shit myself in front of the guy that I was seeing. But thank God I didn't. But I didn't. So that I learned my lesson. So that anytime that I, you know, I mean, I have stopped taking diet pills. I will say that. Yeah. See, I have so many embarrassing stories. Like I said, my whole life is just an embarrassing story. I'm just a very awkward person. I'm very awkward. And I cannot talk to anybody who I find mildly attractive because I turn into an idiot. It's like words. I don't know words. Yeah.
You're like, what are words? I don't know what words are. What? Stop being so attractive. You fucking asshole.
Yeah, so that's all I got, Mamas.
I love it. I love it because though like embarrassing things happen, it's just like whatever. It's just like another opportunity to like, I don't know, make sure your sense of humor is intact at all times. Like Jesus fucking Christ, like shitting, like we all have embarrassing shitting stories.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Like all people, like there's just something about shit.
There's something about shit.
There's something about shit.
That's going to be the title of this podcast, right?
Something about shit.
Yeah. Thank you, Mamas. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like as I get older, it's like all that stuff doesn't really matter. Like, it's just bullshit. You just laugh it off. But back then, it was like the end of the world. Yeah.
Absolutely. I know I've had other embarrassing shit happen. I just, you know, I've blocked a lot of it out.
Yeah. All right, Mamas, do you have anything that you want to share? Anything coming up that you want people to know about? Or just like your socials again?
Just this, we'll just stick with socials for right now. Love Your Show 20 is the Instagram. Give it a follow. It's the public page for my Etsy shop, which is called Love Your Show. Mm-hmm. And then Love Your Show 20 on TikTok. Follow me there too. I'm trying to get all up to date and everything with all the social medias.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot. But cool. That's where you can find me right now.
All right. Make sure that you give us a follow on Cheat Day Podcast on Instagram. And thank you so much for listening. And we hope to talk to you next week. We love you. And take care of yourself and other people. Be safe and wear a mask.
Yeah. And don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Bye.
Love you guys.